सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः
वि जस्ट् फिनिश्ड् चाप्टर् 8 विच् टाक्स् अबौट् अक्षर ब्रह्म The imperishable Brahman. Yajnavalkya Rishi in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad tells the student, he says, Gargi, if a person leaves this body without knowing the imperishable Brahman, his condition is karpanyam, that is pitiable. So if we leave this earth after having the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, after having a guru like Swami Chinmayananda, and after having all this knowledge, if we leave this earth without knowing the imperishable Brahman, without getting the highest knowledge, then the rishis say that our condition is to be pitied. It is karpanya. In fact, Bhagavan himself will say, I sent you to this earth, I gave you this beautiful body, mind, intellect, this knowledge. And what did you do with that? And so that's what Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita, that our goal of life is to know this imperishable Brahman, this supreme consciousness. So in the first six chapters, we had talked about the human activity, human ability. How with our ability we can work in the world, do karma yoga, work with others in a yajna spirit, and ultimately develop karma sannyas, where I give up the doership and do all activities dedicated to the Lord. And in the sixth chapter, Bhagavan taught us about the path of meditation, which then will take us to this highest truth. But what this can happen in practicing these first six chapters, that a person can get an ego that I am able to do it myself. I can do karma yoga, I can do study, I can meditate. And so that's why Bhagwan from the seventh chapter onwards talks about his grace, the Lord's grace, because our efforts can only take us so far, and beyond that we need the Lord's grace. That is required. Without the Lord's grace, the final achievement of spirituality is not possible. And so why do I need God? I have everything. Because God is everything. Whatever we see in this universe is Him. That's why Sri Krishna says, Mattaf parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya mai sarvam idam proktam sutre mani ganamiva. He says, beside me there is nothing. I pervade the whole universe just as the thread supports the necklace, but I am also beyond this universe. The universe is in me. So I am inside, outside, everything is that one Lord, the one consciousness. So how can we work without Him? Our energy, our ability to think, our ability to walk, talk, everything comes from that. And the final step of enlightenment requires this individual to give up even the intellect, because the intellect also can take us only so far. And then beyond that, the intellect has to surrender, the ego has to die down, that I myself cannot do it. Lord, I need your grace, I need your blessings, I need you to carry me the rest of the way. So we put the effort, and then he says, I then support. So you put the effort to the extent you put the effort, to that extent my grace comes. So that's why the seventh chapter, Bhagavan tells us about who he is and how the Lord himself is the one that is doing everything. And he says, I am the essence in everything. Rasoham apsu kaunteya prabhasmi shashi surya yoho. I am the taste in the water. I am the light in the sun and the moon. I am the intelligent in the intelligence. I am the strength in the strong, but the strength that is used for goodness, not for selfishness. And so that was the seventh chapter where he gave us this highest knowledge, which he called as Jnana and Vijnana. We'll talk more about that today. And then the eighth chapter we just finished, Lord first of all talks about the nature of Brahman, this imperishable Brahman, this consciousness, who that is, that as we said, the whole universe. And then we were given two paths, the path of the sun and the path of the moon. The path of the moon, or the path of the world, material path, is the path of sense pleasures. And even if you do a lot of good karmas, a lot of good rituals, if your goal is to reach heaven, then that is the path of the moon, where we go to heaven, enjoy heaven's pleasures for a while, and then come back. Continue our spiritual journey. But the path of the sun, or the path of knowledge, is where you not only do karma, you not only do rituals, but you also do upasana. You pray and you do your offer your worship of the Lord. Worship is not only praying, but also dedicating all activities and taking the Lord with us while we do all our activities, and constantly remembering the Lord. And those who practice that go to the higher lokas, up to Brahma Loka, where Brahmaji himself teaches us, and we attain the final enlightenment where we become one with that, and then there is no return for such an individual. That's why Bhagavan says, on one path, avartate, and the other one, na avartate, the person does not return. But somebody might say, I don't want to return, I'm done. You know, this life is enough. I have had enough things. I do not want to come back. I do not want to go to heaven. I do not want to even go to Brahma Loka. How can I directly know you, Bhagavan? in this life, in this body, right now. And so Bhagavan says, if you want to do that, okay, listen to my 9th chapter, where he will tell us this direct path. That's why this chapter is called Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam. It is the highest knowledge and it is the highest secret. And why it is called secret, we'll also talk about that today. So we are starting the 9th chapter, verse. Atha Navamo Dhyayaha.
Atha Navamo Dhyayaha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Idam Tute Guhyatamam.
Idam Tute Guhyatamam.
Pravakshyamyanasuyave.
Pravakshyamyanasuyave.
Jnanam Vijnanasahitam.
Jnanam Vijnanasahitam.
Yajnatva Mokshyase Shubhat.
Yajnatva Mokshyase Shubhat.
Together, if you can please mute, Girija. Atha Navamo Dhyayah Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Idam Tute Guhyatamam Pravakshyamyanasuyave Jnanam Vijnanasahitam Yajnatva Mokshyase Shubhat. So, we are starting the 9th chapter, which is called Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam. Now, at the end of each chapter, we chant Om Tat Sat Iti, and then, you know, Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Yogo Nama Navamodhyayaha. Or like in the 8th one, we said Akshar Brahma Yogo Nama Ashtamodhyaya. So, these were not given by Bhagavan Shri Krishna or Ved Vyasji. These breaks in the chapter where the name of the chapter is given at the end with dedication to the Lord was done by Madhusudan Saraswati ji. He was a great scholar who actually gave us the ending of each, what we call as Mangalacharan, at the end where we invoke the Lord's grace and thank him for this knowledge. And also the Gita Dhyanam that we chant when we begin the study of the Bhagavad Gita before the first chapter was also given by Madhusudan Saraswati ji. So this name of the chapter, Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam, is given by him. So 9th chapter, Shri Bhagavan Uvach, the Lord spoke. And what did he say? Idam tu te guhyatamam. Idam, this. Indeed, te means to you. Guhyatamam, this supreme secret, pravakshyami. So I will tell you this supreme secret. Why? Why will I tell you? Because you are anasuyave. Anasuyave. Suyave means one who finds fault. Anasuyave means one who does not spend all his time finding faults with others. So that's how Arjuna was. He was very evolved, very upright soul, did not spend time in finding fault. So he says this, I will tell you this supreme secret. Why? Because you are a very honest, truthful person and you do not find faults with others. So that is one of the evil qualities that we have, where we find fault with others. And he says, Idam, what is this that I will reveal to you? Pravakshyami, Bhagavan says, Jnanam Vijnana Sahitam. Jnanam is knowledge. Vijnanam is practice of this knowledge. How you can apply this knowledge in your day-to-day life and come to reach me. Jnana Vijnana Sahitam. Together I will teach both. And knowing what? Why should we learn? What is the benefit of learning this? So Bhagavan says, Yat Jnatva, knowing this. Knowing and knowing does not only mean knowing, but knowing and practicing it and becoming one with this knowledge. Mokshase, that is in the future tense. Mokshase means you will be liberated from ashubhat. Ashubhat means evil, from all negativities, all negative tendencies. You will be liberated, mukti. So moksha is the future of mukti. So let us see now, what is this meaning? So why do they say that this knowledge is most secret? Secret does not mean that this knowledge is not known to anybody, or secret does not mean that this knowledge should not be given to anybody. Bhagavan is giving it to us in the Bhagavad Gita, and then Swami Chinmayanandaji has given the commentaries on it. Secret means that by myself, I will not be able to get this knowledge. I may take a Sanskrit dictionary and translate idam, tute, guhya, tamam, all that into English and come up with my own. But to truly get that, because see, these shlokas, the Upanishads and these teachings have a, one is called the overt meaning that you can see, and one is the hidden meaning, the, what is called as the symbolic or the indicative meaning. Mm-hmm. And spiritual knowledge can only be taught through the words of symbolism, not through direct teaching. If you look at the Bible throughout, Jesus uses so much symbolic language, because this knowledge, direct teaching of that is very, very difficult. So the symbolic message can only be revealed to us by the Guru. So that's why it says it is secret until we find somebody to reveal it to us. Like Gurudev in his commentary says, the law of gravitation was known to everybody. Things used to fall all the time. But it came Newton who actually revealed this knowledge to us, that there is a force called gravitation. Actually, I was reading somewhere 500 years before Newton, there was a Sanskrit scholar called Bhaskar who actually talks about the law of gravitation very clearly in that. But that's a different issue. So that's what they say, that this knowledge will remove your ego, because it is the ego that separates me from God, because I think I am separate, I am somebody special, and as we get more and more egotistical, we get further away from God. Not only we get further away from God, but we get further away from others, from our family, from our friends, from our community, because then it is only what I can do for myself, not what I can do for the others. So that's why he says this knowledge will remove your ego, your individuality. Your individuality does not mean that you won't accomplish, but the sense that I am separate from God, that ignorance will be removed. Now, he says anasuya way, not finding fault. What do we mean by that? And I was thinking about it and reading some of the commentaries. So finding fault is like, say I am at work and I do 10 things right, and I do 10 things right, and the 11th one I don't do as well. And my boss comes and says, look at this 11th, you have not done well, you never do things right, you make so many mistakes. So focusing on the one wrong and not on the 10 that I have done well. And even at home also, between husband and wife, the same thing, you know, finding fault. It is very easy to find fault, but we ignore all the good things that the person has done and focus on the fault. Or like parents and children, you know, parents as they get older, children very quickly find fault, tease the parents, make fun of them, you know, and treat them. Forgetting how much the parents have done for us, you know, when we were children, brought us up. So finding fault, and the greatest wrong thing we can do is find fault in our guru. Because everybody is human, so nobody is perfect, but a guru whom we have got so much, if we focus on his or her faults and say, you know what, I don't think he has that much, I don't think. Or, you know, just concentrating on that. Or the worse than that is finding fault in the scriptures. I don't think these are practical. You know, 5,000 years ago, somebody told somebody in a battlefield, what is it to me? So that is how we find fault with others, everybody. And Arjuna did not find fault with others because his goal in life was to evolve, to get better. If you go to the Zoom chat, if you can click, you can see we have all these points on the board. So the goal of life is to evolve beyond me, myself, and ego and to get better. That's why he approaches Bhagwan. And that's why he says, I will tell it, give you this knowledge because you want to learn. See, I have to approach the God with the idea of learning. And then he says, Jnana and Vijnana, knowledge and experience. So Ramakrishna Paramhans, in one place, he writes, he says, what is the difference between information, knowledge, jnana, and vijnana? So he says information is what in Sanskrit we can call it updesh, jnana, and vijnana. Updesh is what I hear from my teacher. So Ramakrishna Paramhansji says, he says information is like I know that with rubbing two sticks I can create fire. That is sandesh, that is updesh, that is knowledge, information. Then how does that information become into my knowledge when I actually rub the two sticks together and create a fire? And that's how they used to do in the olden days. And so with the straw and sticks, by rubbing the sticks hard, you create a fire, and that is jnanam. Now when does that jnanam become vijnanam? When I put rice on it, cook it, eat the rice, and the rice becomes one with me. So same way, this knowledge is information. Guru has given us, Swami Chinmayananda has given us. That's why we say that we must all read this book. If you don't have this commentary of the Bhagavad Gita, please get it. We are in the office, Neeru and I, every Sunday at 5:30 in the evening. And if you don't have this commentary, please stop by the office and we'll be happy to give it to you. Because without reading on my own, this knowledge will not become firm. I listen on Sunday, that's very good. But this knowledge has to be, that's why Gurudev says Vedanta is not Sunday from 11 to 12:30. Vedanta is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Constant understanding, constant reading. Because I have this understanding that I am Jiva. And that is the biggest Ashubha. That is the biggest sorrow. That is the biggest negativity. That is the biggest sin. They say that if you say I am the body and I am this limited Jiva, because then what happens is that my priorities change. That my priorities in life, if I am this body, if I am this Jiva, then what is my goal in life? Nourish this body, fatten this body, get more food for this body, more better house, more clothes. Not that one should not take care of the body or not have possessions, but the priorities in life have to change after a certain time when you have reached some level of comfort. Even if you have not reached that level of comfort, even as I am on this path of materialism, slowly I have to bring spirituality into life. I have to change my priorities. What is important for me in life? And as we had said in the beginning of this class, that my goal in life is to know Brahman. And know Brahman not as an object. We always think of Brahman or God as somewhere else, somebody outside. But knowing that that same Lord that is outside, that is in heaven, that is in Kailash, that is in Vaikuntha, is also in my heart. The Krishna that I worship, the Jesus that I worship, the Shiva that I worship is in me as my life, my consciousness. So that is the moksha se ashubhad, when Bhagwan says, I will remove you from that evil, from that wrong understanding, is I will bring you this right knowledge by which you can reach that goal of oneness with me. And not only I will give you this knowledge, but I will give it to you with vijnana, with how to practice. And that's what this ninth chapter, that's the beauty of this chapter. When somebody had asked me, I said that's my favorite chapter. Because it starts with the highest knowledge. Not today, but next week, we'll see the verses have very, very difficult ideas. And then after that, the rest of the chapter, so beautifully and lovingly and compassionately, the Lord guides us. It's like He's holding our hands and taking us to Him, you know, step by step. Beautiful shlokas, beautiful commentaries are given, and wonderful teachings. Very, very practical chapter. It's nuts. That's why He says, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, that not only the knowledge, but how I can practice it. Jnana and Vijnana. And for that, we have to be qualified. We have to make ourselves qualified. That's what they say, that the student has to be qualified. And how do we become qualified? By developing the curiosity and by developing purity of mind. This knowledge will not stay with us unless our mind is pure. If our mind is filled with negativities like anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, no matter how many times we read the Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge will not change us. So that's what Arjuna had. He had the purity of mind. He had the desire to know. That's why Bhagavan gave him these 700 verses. And we have to be thankful not only to the Lord, but to Arjuna. Because of him, you and I have the opportunity to get this knowledge directly from the Lord's mouth. There can be no greater blessing in life. So that is verse number 1.